Yeah, thanks for the beautiful hymn songs that we have sang together. Before we share the word of God, I would like to encourage all of us to pray together for the church in Turkey this morning. You see, the 3 years ago, April 18, they had a few Christian murdered by the Muslim people, and since then a lot of persecution. I mean, before they had a lot of already, but since then they have more persecution. So the church there, they wrote a letter saying that greeting from the church of in Turkey, from the land of Noah, of Abraham, of Paul, of Ararat, and Haran, of Antioch, Ephesus, Galatia, and the seven churches of our Revelation. Just saying that it was the land of the Bible, and yet today the body of Christians in our land is less than 0.1%. It's a very challenging situation. So the letter came saying that we are writing to you on behalf of the leaders of the church in Turkey and ask you to pray. So they ask churches around the world to pray for them on April the 18th, that is today, the Sunday, and ask that we can pray for them so that, you know, the pray for the blessing and the peace of Turkey in general, as the Lord desire, and also pray the Lord will display His love and mercy to the people of Turkey by pouring out His Holy Spirit upon our land, revealing His glory through healing signs and wonders, and then pray that the Lord will break down the lies and the endless disinformation about Christ, the Bible, and Christian that has blind and hardened hearts in our land. Pray that God redeems the negative memories of history. So let's, you know, just spend a little bit of time to pray, and then, you know, if you remember them, you know, after this service, you can continue to pray for them. So let's just go to pray for our brothers and sisters in Turkey this morning. Let's pray together. Everybody, you can pray in your heart and ask God to really to encourage, to bless our brothers and sisters in Turkey this morning. Lord, as we come before you as part of your church, we remember our brothers and sisters in Turkey this morning. Lord, this is, you know, so difficult to realize that through Paul and many, many others, you have blessed this part of the land for many years, and yet now they have only 0.1% of Christians. So few people, they know you, they know about your salvation. Lord, we pray that, Lord, your Holy Spirit will encourage our brothers and sisters this morning as they remember the murder, the, you know, persecution that in the past, and maybe in the days to come also, they will be strengthened in you and trust you, and knowing that God, you will, you know, carry them through all kinds of difficulties. So help them to you know, to trust you, to reach out so that they will see many people, they need Jesus, and they know about the love of Jesus. So we pray for the church there, Lord. You encourage the leaders, you encourage the brothers and sisters this morning. Just remember them, encourage them, and guide them so that they will see, you know, the light of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we pray for brothers and sisters in Turkey this morning, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, this morning I would like to share with you about what a friend we have in Jesus. Being Christians, I think one of the most exciting things is Jesus wants to be our friend. Jesus wants to be our friend. This is so beautiful because just imagine our Creator, our God. He came to this earth and He wants to be our friends. I think that is one of the most exciting things that we human beings we can experience. No matter where we are, even when we are by ourselves, we feel like we may be lonely, but knowing that Jesus is our friend, He is here with us. That is so encouraging. And then just now, Dan and the worship group lead us read through a few verses from John chapter 15. John chapter 15, verse 15, saying that I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. Friends is something that is so unique in a way. I don't know your experience. How many of you know the hymn called "What a Friend I Have in Jesus"? Many of us. What a friend we have in Jesus. Oh, our sins and grief to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. Oh, because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. What a friend we have in Jesus. Do you realize how powerful the truth is that we have a best friend, and his name is Jesus? I remember in the 70s when I sang this song in the prison in Hong Kong. During my seminary time, one year I served with the prison ministry department, and we visit 7 different prisons. Some are criminals, some are refugees, some are just different kind of people there. Every time when we start singing this song, I saw tears. I saw tears. People, for whatever reason, they were in the prison. Many of them were rejected by their family. The family said, "Don't come back, okay? You just cause us too much problem. Don't come back." People, they are refugee, Vietnamese. When they heard this song, the tears just come down. What a friend we have in Jesus. I remember in the 80s when I was reaching out to the prison in Malaysia. The first time when I sang this song with them, what a friend we have in Jesus. And after the meeting, they just saying that, "Tell me about Jesus. Tell me about Jesus." Many gangsters became Christian, not because of other truth, but because the fact that Jesus wants to be their friends. It was so touching. It was so touching. So whenever we go, we are not alone. Jesus is with us. So to me, the most exciting thing, one of the most exciting things for Christian, is we have Jesus, and He wants to be our friend. So brother and sister, we need to understand the truth. And Jesus said, I'm not calling you, no longer calling you servants. I'm calling you friend. This is our privilege. So I would like to thank God for that. Because as a friend, you know, look at the dictionary, the definition of friend, you can find a lot of things like one that knows you, one that loves you, likes you, trusts you, you know, loyal to you, and one supports you, and one sympathizes, and one is allied, you know, in a cause. That means, you know, we are in something together. That is so important because we cannot live a life by ourselves. So brothers and sisters, this morning, let's praise the Lord because Jesus is our friend. Praise the Lord. You can never live a life without a friend. If you don't have any friend this morning, I feel sorry for you. That's really tough. If you feel like you want to be friend with many other people, and yet people turn around, they don't like you, they don't love you, they don't trust you, they don't respond as you like to see, that's really hard. It's really hard. So when Jesus said, you know, I'm here, I'm not calling you servants, I'm calling you friends. What does that mean? Jesus is willing to come and He wants to know us. He wants to love us. He trusts us in many ways. He supports us. He encourages us in many, many ways. We need this. And when the Bible is saying that Moses face to face, you know, with our God, and the Bible say he is like God's friend, I'm so touching, I'm so envy, because Moses can be called friend of God. And Abraham twice in the Old Testament saying that, you know, Abraham my friend. And God call someone friend. This is so wonderful. And in the New Testament, even you know, just unbelievable, because Jesus is called a friend of tax collector and sinners. Those are sinners, rejected by people. No one loves them, no one cares for them, no one wants to be friend with them. And yet Jesus said, I come to be friend with sinners, with those that need the Lord. Just remember the fact that Jesus loves us. Then we will be encouraged. We won't be self-pity all the time, like, well, no one loves me, no one cares for me, so, you know, there is no purpose for me to live in the, you know, in this earth. No, Jesus loves us. So that's so important. When we read the Bible, when we see Jesus, just reach out. Reach out. Sit with friends. Sit with people that may be regarded as sinners or people don't like them. And Jesus, just spend time with them. Sitting with them. I remember, you know, when I tried to live up what Jesus had taught me in the Bible, I had some real comments from other people. In Africa, I have a good friend called Maman Kote. He was the head of the electrical company that bring the electricity to our city, to our town. You know, the first 3 years we didn't have electricity. So when he came, he brought electricity. So of course, you know, we like it because no electricity in the Sahara Desert is it's very tough. We, at least we need some fans or lights. So for some reason, we two just become friends so naturally. And people start reminding me, saying that, well, you need to be careful. Especially when this person retired. Okay, better way we say is retired, but in reality was set, you know, lay off because of corruption. And he is the head, so he has a lot of opportunity to put money into pocket and not record down whatever. So the new head person came and told me, saying that, you want to be his friend? I said, any problem? He said, he is a criminal. You know, our company set him. You want to be his friend? It was a big challenge. And this man, Maman Kote, when he was in that position, a lot of people, they were his friends because he has money. A lot of people, they like to be friends with richer people. And then when he was said, lay off, I can see a lot of people turn away from him because he didn't have income, so he cannot feed people. So he needs people to help him. And when he got sick, I was the only one, basically. Every time I visit him, sit beside his bed, and he hold my hand and say, pray for me in the name of Jesus. He is the only one in our town, like 10,000 people, have been to Mecca and came back with a Malaysian songkok. The Haji, the head. He's the only one qualified to put the head on. But what happened? Everybody say he's a sinner, and no one wants to be his friend. But I visit him all the time, and he realized that Jesus can be his friend. And he asked me to pray for him. I do believe that in his heart he be accept Jesus Christ, but he cannot publicly say so. So one time when our Bible school student, his wife was, okay, you say kidnapped or whatever. It's not really kidnapped, because the family came and just took her away with the baby, and saying that our family, we don't want our daughter to marry to a Christian. We almost, the whole church people went to the house and prayed and saying that please let the wife come back, let the baby come back, because the father loved the baby and the husband loved the wife. We just try all the way, we can't get the wife back, can't get the baby back. Because Jesus is saying that we Muslims, we cannot allow our daughter to marry to a Christian man. And one day, Maman Kote told me, can we go together? And we went to the compound and sat there. No one came to greet us, just sat there. Twice in 2 days, and third day the wife came back. I mean, culturally, such important people came to your compound and sat there, and simple request is let the wife come back. I can see, because of that kind of friendship, and he is willing to help us. He is regarded as a very religious people in the town, and he helped us. 2003, April 26th, that was a Saturday. That was the dedication of our church building there before we left Africa. During the dedication of the church building, we have a lot of people. Packed the church building around the size of this building, and then pay the compound also. And then we have whole bunch of people sitting in front of the church building. They were all Muslim leaders. None of them are Christians. But they came early and they took the seat. You cannot say, sorry, you cannot sit here. So they took the seat. You know what happened? You build a church building among the Muslim people. That was a risk. Because anything happened, they can burn down the church. I praise the Lord, until today the church is still there. They even modify the renovation a little bit, put on a ceiling. I mean, you don't find ceiling in that area, but they put on a ceiling for the church. What happened? During that dedication time, we have preaching, prayer, announcement, everything. And then the last program was, the last one was, I'm supposed to give the benediction. Before I stood up, my friend, Norman Cote, stood up. He just walked out and said, I want to say something. I don't know if you're a church leader, what are you going to do? Okay, Muslim, come to a church and stand in front saying that I want to say something. I'm not sure what to expect. But I have no way to ask him to sit down because, he just so naturally came out saying that I want to say something. And what he say, I think is one of the reasons to keep the church alive today. He said, for years I'm watching the Christians. I'm living with the Christians. I saw only good things. Look at the Christian's family. They take care of their children. If you understand the background, the Muslim usually they have several wives, a lot of children. So the children have no food, so they run around, either steal or they just do a lot of things that just made the society so difficult. And he said, I saw them. Good testimony. And he kept saying a little bit, and he said that, let us stay together with Christians in harmony. And then he turned around and he sat down. Everybody was so touched because this came from a Muslim leader and asked all the Muslims to be friends with the Christian. So there's no persecution until today for our church in that area. Right in the center of the town, a church building. So brother and sister, when we think about Jesus wants to be our friend, that brings a lot of comfort, because the friendship itself can be very powerful. Can be very powerful. So when Jesus wants to be our friend, he commands us, you are my friends if you do what I command. This is John chapter 15 verse 14. So Jesus wants to be our friend, and to be his friend, we need to obey his command. We need to obey his command. So when our church talk about how can we reach out to our friends, maybe they are not yet Christian, and then we ourselves, we are Christian, how can we obey God's command to reach out to our friends? Brothers and sisters, do you know what happened? Last week, our church had a meeting, and we tried to identify who are Christians, and then, where are they? So let's say the new believers are Christians, they are learning how to feed themselves, like, doing devotion, Bible reading, prayer time, try to feed ourselves, and try to learn and to follow the Lord, and not yet reach up to a level that we can come out and serve or teach Sunday school or lead the Bible study or lead the worship. We are learning, we are growing. And then I asked those they were there to identify how many you think that they are in the this category, like they are learning how to self-feeding. For the Chinese side, we have around 60 to 61 names. That means we have 60 to 61 names, brothers and sisters, that they are learning how to feed themselves. They are not yet mature enough to serve, but they are Christian. They want to learn how to read the Word of God, how to pray, and how to serve. They are in the very beginning stage, around 61 names. And on the list, we have around 25 names. They are here, we are friends, and they are not yet Christian, and we pray for them. And then we do have names, we haven't identified them, like counted how many of them. They are Christians for some time, and they pray for each other, they serve other people. Brothers and sisters, let's learn, from the example of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ just takes his time to meet with friends. They are Christian, they are not Christian. Jesus Christ spends time to meet with them and to encourage them, to let them know that who Jesus is, so that they will know who Jesus is. Once they know who Jesus is, and they will know that Jesus loves them, and they will know that Jesus really wants them to give to get this the best gift from our Lord. That is the salvation. That is Jesus wants to be their friends also. So brother and sister, when we talk about what a friend we have in Jesus, okay, Jesus is our friend. Now we want other people to realize that Jesus is their friend also. So how are we going to do it? We need to obey His command. Obey His command, that means that Jesus teaches us to love one another. So, brother and sister, we need to learn how to love one another so that other people will see that we are disciples of Jesus. So that other people will see that Jesus is true, is real. So, when we do this, then we are witnessing for our Lord. Follow His command. Love one another. Sometimes we try to love one another, and yet for some reason we cannot. We need to learn the love of Jesus. Jesus is willing to die for us. Are we willing to die for Him? Are we willing to die for Him? And last Friday in our one of the fellowship, they talk about how can we have a good family life, and the man saying that wives obey your husband, and it caused a lot of discussion. Okay, we can understand, and they try to explain, saying that okay, if my husband is like this, like this, like this, then I can obey him. So put a lot of conditions there. So the husband just turned to me and said, "Pastor, can you help?" And I said to them, I said, what the Bible say is the truth. Okay, we don't put condition on there. But please, husband, let the wife say that I would like to obey you. The husband wants, you don't use this as a command saying that obey me, okay? Obey me, this is what the Bible say. Let the husband say that I would like to love you more. Okay? If the husband say I would like to love you more, and let the wife say I would like to obey you, then that is not too difficult to live up the truth in the Bible. But Jesus' example is, He loved us even to a point that He is willing to die on the cross. So, whoever If you are a husband, if you are willing to die for your wife, I don't think that your wife has difficulty to obey you, to be submissive. You see, this is both ways. So Jesus said, this is my command, love one another. Love is much more difficult than submission or obey. So just pray that God will help us so that we know how to, you know, live out the command that Jesus had for us. And when we do that, we reach out, we befriend with our, you know, our friends that they may be not yet Christian, and they will see Jesus. They will see Jesus. And a lot of them, they would like to be, you know, friend of Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus. So if we do that, brothers and sisters, we can see that many people realize that Jesus is their friend, and they would like to be friend with Jesus. They would like to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord, and they will experience the love of Jesus. That's so important. It's so important. So when we sing, what a friend we have in Jesus, let us also live out a life that people will see that we are a friend of Jesus. Let's pray. Father God, we want to thank you for Jesus. Because of Jesus, we have good reason to enjoy, to praise, to give thanks, and to just look forward to our days to come, that we can, you know, live a life with full meaning. We just want to thank you for that. And thank you that Jesus wants to be our friend, even though we are weak, even though we are still in sometime in a sinful way that not pleasing our Lord, and yet Jesus is willing to forgive, to be our friend. We just want to thank you, and I just pray that God, you help us so that we know how to reach out, know how to live out the life of Jesus, so that people will know that we are your disciple. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.